This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, it's officially a blizzard in some areas of Massachusetts. This storm's sustained high winds and reduced visibility have put it into the blizzard category. Most schools are closed. Officials say people should stay off the roads. The speed, the entire length of the Mass Turnpike right now, is down to 20 miles per hour. The storm has downed trees. It's knocked out power to almost 250,000 people across the state at last check. Several cities have declared snow emergencies, including Boston. Governor Charlie Baker says massive power outages in southeastern Massachusetts are a big concern, as some crews can't get out today to try to restore power.
Obviously, those crews are going to have to wait until the snow stops and the wind stops before they're going to be able to start doing the work required to put those outages back online.
The governor says those without heat should either stay with family and friends or call 211 to try to find a local warming shelter. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman was at the governor's press conference today, and he joins us in studio. Hi there, Bruce.
Let's talk about March Madness.
Ooh, I'll say. What was the main message from the governor?
Well, as you said, there's a blizzard out there. Snow's supposed to be tapering off at about 5 o'clock, but it could snow all the way through the night in some places. The governor said, you know, when he spoke about 3 hours ago, there were 170,000 people without electricity. He said we could expect more, and sure enough, there are now about 240,000 households without power. The problem, Deb, is that the snow is really, really heavy and wet. It's bringing down, you know, trees and power lines and all the rest. In the last 10 days, there were 750,000 households have lost electricity. He gave credit to utilities for bringing them back. Now there are almost 3,500 crews clearing state roads, but he says, you know, really, the big hazard is downed trees and power lines.
Stay as far away from the downed lines as you can get. Many of them are live, and if you do know of one, do exactly what people have been doing, which is call the police station and let them know.
Yeah, and get out your batteries.
Mm-hmm. So what about transportation, Bruce? What if people do go out in this storm or have to go out?
Well, Massachusetts Department of Transportation Secretary Stephanie Pollack was at the news conference today, and she says that people should take public transportation if they're going to go out at all during the storm.
Great job for staying off the roads. Thank you for that. And please stay off the roads for the remainder of today. Use public transportation as needed and allow the plow drivers to get out there and clear the streets as this storm continues.
Now, we should say that the MBTA is operating on a very seriously curtailed schedule. They have reduced the service on the T, so they can give the T a chance to catch up so they can provide service during tomorrow's commute. Pollack took pride in the fact that the commuter rail is running, hasn't missed haven't canceled a single train, but they're very seriously delayed. They have put in $100 million to make the train's more resilient. Each and every one has a plow in front of it. Logan Airport has been staying open, but had no flights. 800 flights were canceled. There is one runway. It's only there for diverted planes that are coming from other airports. People are advised to check tomorrow to see what the airlines are going to be doing.
All right. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman. Bruce, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. How are you handling this storm? Do you have power? Do you have to drive? And how does this storm compare to the other two nor'easters that we've had in the past 2 weeks? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. But first, we want to get the latest on the roads and different things happening around the state in terms of transportation. So we're joined by Highway Administrator Jonathan Gulliver. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So it's my understanding the Mass Turnpike's a mess.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that many, not only the Mass Turnpike, but many of the connecting roadways, especially from Central Mass into Boston right now, they're in really difficult shape. There was a really large band of snow that moved through, dropped a lot of snow on us in a very short period of time. We saw more than 3 inches drop in the past hour. And as a result of that, we have lowered the speed limit along with the state police to 20 miles per hour for much of the turnpike. And we are seeing a lot of spin outs and a number of tractor trailer jackknives as well. It's been a very, very difficult past hour.
I heard that Natick in particular, on the turnpike heading eastbound, right at Natick, there's a real problem?
That's the more recent one that we just saw with a tractor-trailer jackknife. We've also had similar incidents in Auburn and also in Millbury, where we have seen a number of speed-related and weather-related crashes in the past hour. Again, it was a huge amount of snow that came through, and that whenever the snowfall rate gets above about 2 inches per hour, it's very difficult, if not impossible, for the snow plows to clear the roadway down a bare pavement and maintain speeds. Hmm. So that's really what we just saw.
Any roads closed?
We don't have any roads closed right now, although we have had a portion of the pike, a couple of lanes closed so that we could remove those tractor trailers. Those are opening up again right now, but we haven't had to have any wholesale closures yet. So right now the state police have been comfortable with speed reduction, and they're out there doing enforcement to try to make sure people are going safe speeds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so when do you think it will be safe to travel?
So we're seeing that the storm is slowly moving out of here. The far western part of the state on the New York border right now, it looks like it's actually stopped snowing. I'm not sure if it's going to stay that way for the rest of the afternoon, but it certainly has slowed down there. Based on our forecast, we're expecting that we're in the heaviest part of it right now, and we expect that it's going to keep going for another couple of hours before it really starts letting up later on tonight, somewhere between 8 and 10 in the Boston area.
Hmm. Okay, so your advice to commuters would be what?
Our advice right now is to really stay off the roads if you don't have to venture out there. And if you do venture out there, really drive safe and slowly. It can be very treacherous depending on what roads you're on. And we're expecting that it's going to be difficult travel for the next hour or so.
All right. State Highway Administrator Jonathan Gulliver, thanks so much for taking the time out of what must be a very busy day for you and joining us on Radio Boston today.
All right. Thank you.
And also, southeastern Massachusetts is getting hard hit, as are many areas, by this storm. Plymouth could get up to 2 feet of snow by the end of today. With us on the line right now, Jonathan Beter. He's the Director of Public Works in Plymouth. Hi there, Jonathan.
Hey, good afternoon.
So what's happening there?
So we get about, I'd say, 6 to 12 inches. You know, Plymouth's pretty big, so we have, you know, the most snow in South Plymouth. The issue we're having is the trees and the power lines that are down.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 11,500 people without power at this time. Eversource will not respond, you know, when we have 35-mile-an-hour winds.
Mm.
So we have power lines and trees and roads that are actually blocking people in. So that's really the biggest issue in Plymouth right now. Snowfall, we've been able to keep up with that. But again, the roads are very unsafe to be traveling today, and it's just the power issues we're dealing with today.
11,500. How many is that in comparison to the entire population? Are we talking what percentage?
Yeah, that's probably about 30%.
30%. And then how does that compare to some of the other storms?
To the other storms, it's probably on track with Riley a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, again, we're dealing with the snow this storm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during Riley, we didn't have the snow, so the response is a little bit easier. And we don't expect the wind and the snowfall to end till 10 o'clock or midnight tonight.
Mm. And so we also heard reports of thunder snow.
Yeah, a few hours ago we had a little bit of thunder and lightning here in Plymouth, but I haven't heard anything in the past couple hours.
How are you trying to keep roads clear and to keep up with all these downed trees and everything?
We have all of our equipment out, and we have all our contractors in. Again, the only issue is the areas that do have the trees that have fallen down and the power issues that we have to stay away from.
Mm-hmm. Is there an anecdote you're hearing about this storm, Jonathan, that stands out in your mind, you find yourself repeating to a lot of folks when you're talking about
it? I just think the winter has been fascinating.
Fascinating. That's
a
good word.
For the coastal communities, you know, in New England, just what we've been dealing with the high tide cycles and the frequency of the storms, it's unique.
Hmm. Unique and fascinating. You're very kind. Jonathan Beter, Director of Public Works in Plymouth, thanks so much for being with us.
Have a great day.
Okay. We want to check in now with one of our reporters who's been talking with some of those who are really vulnerable in this weather. WBUR's Simone Rios is at the Pine Street Inn in the South End, where he has talked with some people who are homeless and some of those who work with those who are homeless. Simone is on the line now. Hi, Simone.
Hello, Deb.
So what's the scene like there at the Pine Street Inn?
So there's a lot of people here. I've been here several times in the past, and I've never seen as many as there are right now. So normally the shelter is closed during the day and reopens as guests come to check in for the night. But because of the storm, they stayed open, and it's really packed. People lined up sleeping on the floor, watching TV, doing what they do at a shelter. I think actually a fight broke out a few minutes ago, but security stepped in pretty quickly, fortunately. Josh O'Brien is the shelter director for the men's shelter. He says dealing with increased demand is tough for everybody, but you know, they're trying to stay optimistic.
We try and always keep it focused on how we can move forward with moving out of homelessness, but today is a lot about just being together and having a feeling of fellowship that we're all kind of in this together. We're all human. We're all subject to the storms.
We certainly are all subject to this storm. Simone, yep. Earlier today I'm told you were at South Station and you spoke with some folks there who are homeless and actually spent the night there. What did they tell you?
That's right. I met a man named Joe Edge. He spent last night inside South Station with a friend. He said he normally stays outside, even in this weather, but because of the high winds, he had to find a place to stay last night. He does not like staying at shelters, so he stayed in South Station, and they allowed him to stay there.
I have a tent, but I can't pop it in this kind of weather because, one, right now you get 60-mile-an-hour winds. That ain't going to cut it. You know, even if I stake it with cement, ain't going to happen. Hmm.
Simone, you also visited St. Francis House, which is a homeless shelter that's downtown. What's happening there?
Yeah, so as you know, Deb, St. Francis House is a day shelter. So folks who spend the night at places like Pine Street Inn can head over there during the day. You know, today seems to be a more or less normal day, with the exception of the weather outside. A lot of people are coming through looking for clothing. David DiNapoli heads security and community services at St. Francis House. He says that so far, so good.
All of the night shelters have stayed open during the day, so people have the opportunity to stay in at the night shelters. Even having said that, many people still venture out, just cabin fever. They want to get out of the building they're in.
Hmm. Simone, I'm just wondering, though, I know folks do probably want, you know, to get out of where they are, but this is an unusual storm. It's a daytime storm, right? So it's really hitting hard right now. What are folks telling you about what their big concerns are because of this storm?
You know, Deb, I think people in the homeless community, the indigent community, are used to dealing with difficult situations, weather included. It's tough being without a home and having to stay in the streets or in a shelter. And to tell you the truth, I think a lot of folks have dealt with a lot worse than this snowstorm.
Mm. And Simone, just in terms of conditions that you've experienced, what's it been like to travel between South Station and downtown where Francis House is?
Yeah, so fortunately, I'm all suited up. I have a big one-piece snowsuit that I haven't worn for like 15 years. I was able to get from where I live in Dorchester to South Station with no problems, I should say, on the Red Line. From South Station, I trudged through the blizzard to St. Francis House just a few blocks away, that was pretty miserable. Fortunately, I am, like my good colleague Shannon Dooling, wearing ski goggles, which I would recommend to anybody who has to go out in this weather. So from St. Francis House, I caught an Uber over to the Pine Street Inn. The driver said he was glad to have snow tires on his car, that without those, he wouldn't have been out driving right now.
All right. WBUR's Simone Rio, stay warm, stay safe, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Deb.
And of course, one of the main weather questions right now is, so when is this storm going to be over? Well, for that, we're joined by Alan Dunham. He's a National Weather Service meteorologist. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, big question. When is this going to end?
Well, not for a while yet. The storm is gradually moving further and further off to the east, northeast, or the outer water, but it is such a huge storm. It's going to take a while. We do have, the snow has lightened up in the greater Boston area. However, we do have an enhanced band of much heavier snow, really stretching from coastal New Hampshire back down through a lot of Middlesex County to just outside of Worcester down into Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to wait till the storm pulls away and pulls that band of snow on through.
When you say a couple of hours, what are we talking about? 8 o'clock? We're talking 10 o'clock? 6 o'clock?
Oh, well, I think the heaviest snow should come to an end between 4 and 6. Mm-hmm. But then we're still going to have several hours of still light snow. that we're going to have to put up with, but a lot less of the heaviest and steadiest accumulation should be coming to an end, like I say, 4 to 6, and then after that, maybe another inch or two after that point, on top of whatever you have by 6 o'clock.
What does it mean that this is officially a blizzard?
Okay, to be a blizzard, you have to meet certain requirements as far as visibility and wind speeds.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had several locations that have already gone ahead and met the qualifications for blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
Blizzard definition is falling or blowing snow, reducing visibility to below a quarter of a mile, along with sustained winds or winds that frequently gust to 35 miles per hour or more, and this has to be the predominant condition for a period of 3 consecutive hours.
Okay, so what areas, we can call it the blizzard of 2018, right?
Yes, we can, because Boston met the criteria, Martha's Vineyard met the criteria, Marshfield met the criteria, and Plymouth has met the criteria, also Hyannis, and actually Newport, Rhode Island. So we've had several locations that have already met the requirements. So this is officially, along the East Coast here, a blizzard.
Okay. What areas in Massachusetts were hardest hit?
It depends what your classification is. There's a snow classification, which is still occurring. Then you have the results of the heavy snow and strong winds.
Okay, the most snowfall.
Power outages.
Most snowfall. Who got the most?
Okay, most snowfall right now so far. Let me bring that one up. Oh, there it is. All right. In Massachusetts, Essex did pretty good.
Essex.
But once again, Middlesex and did real well.
County.
Yeah, Middlesex County.
Huh.
Norfolk County over towards Walpole. So far.
Not southeastern Mass.
Oh, I haven't got there yet.
Okay.
Got to have patience here.
Well, we're live, you know.
I know. Plymouth County. We've had, let's see, 125. We had 10 inches in Carver, 227, 16 and a half inches in Bridgewater.
Hmm. Okay.
Worcester County got really hammered, too.
Worcester did, too.
Yeah.
Wow. So we've got it all over the place. I want to ask.
There's a wide area of anywhere from basically 10 inches up to as much as 19.
Hmm. I want to ask you about something that we noticed, how the storm system looks on a photo. And we noticed that the National Weather Service actually put this on social media. There's a form of a heart, Alan. We have a photo on our website at radioboston.org. Right in the middle of the storm clouds, just off the coast, you see this formation of a heart in the middle.
I saw that earlier.
Oh, come on. What do you think?
I think that's just the way it formed up. You know, Mother Nature will sometimes, you know, make pretty little designs with its cloud pattern and these huge storms.
How about the weather for tomorrow? What are we looking at?
Oh, weather for tomorrow, looking better than what we've had today, by most certainly. But we're still going to be looking at some chance of snow showers and maybe some snow squalls. That would be late tonight into tomorrow morning, but overall, mostly cloudy, few peaks of sunshine tomorrow in greater Boston metro. Highs only in the upper 30s, though, and kind of a gusty southwest wind, so it's going to feel a lot colder than 30 degrees. And I'd love to say there's going to be a big warm-up to melt all this snow, but I just don't see it happening. The warmest day this week will be Thursday, but that's high temperatures only in the lower 40s, you know, 42, 43. And then Friday, highs in the 30s. Saturday, highs in the lower 30s. Sunday, we may get back up to the lower 40s again on Sunday, but then cooling off again on Monday. So with as much snow that's fallen, it's going to unfortunately stick around for a while because we'd have no big warm-up to melt it.
All right. National Weather Service meteorologist Alan Dunham, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston. Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, more than 240,000 Massachusetts residents are without power right now as the snow piles up from what is officially a blizzard in some areas of Massachusetts. Governor Baker says he expects the outages will get even worse tonight.
So please charge devices now and make sure you have batteries on hand for flashlights and other household items.
The state officials say some 4,000 pieces of equipment are being used to try to clear the roadways. The T is running on a Saturday schedule. Some 800 flights have been canceled at Logan Airport. Coastal areas are being hard hit, not because of high tides this time, but because of strong winds and blowing, drifting snow that are creating near whiteout conditions. On Nantucket, winds of more than 60 miles per hour were recorded today. There's also strong winds reported in Falmouth. Down power lines are causing problems. And police in Yarmouth are urging people not just to stay off the roads, but to stay inside. On the line with us is Deputy Police Chief Stephen Zaros. Hi, Chief.
How are you?
So I'm okay. I'm dry. What's going on in Yarmouth?
Yeah, I wish we could say the same. I was listening to you. You nailed it. This is difficult here on Cape Cod. Yarmouth is in the mid-Cape, and we have most of our community right now without power, and power lines in the roadways. We have poles down. We have trees down. It's very treacherous.
Mm. So what's happening? Are you setting up shelters? What are you doing for
folks? Yes, and we do regional systems. There's 15 towns on the Cape, and we work together. So, you know, we have police officers and firefighters all doing their amazing work every day on the road, but you know, at the administrative level, we need to decide on sheltering because it looks like the power will be out a while, and the poor, you know, men and women that are working on the lines, it's too dangerous for them to actually rectify the matter right now. So shelters will be opening on Cape Cod.
But you don't know when, but you're in the process of doing that right now. Is that right?
Yeah, we do regional, like I said, planning and conference calls. So there's one at 4 o'clock, and it's likely that we'll announce at that point where the shelters are.
Now, you know, earlier today you sent out an email warning residents not to even go outside. Why is that?
It's just so dangerous. I was out there myself, and, of course, we're listening to all the calls. Not only could you crash because the roads are very slippery, this snow is so heavy and wet, it's hard to move. And not only is there the danger of crashing, but trees are coming down, poles are coming down, live wires are in the road. It is very dangerous.
Mm. All right. Well, when do you expect it might be safe?
That's a great question. You know, we're working with Eversource, but again, they're in tough times. It's very dangerous to, you know, go up on in the bucket truck and actually do something right now. They're waiting for the winds to die down, and they'll be on it as soon as they can. I expect, you know, a cold night, but we're here. All they have to do is give us a call or follow us on Facebook, and we'll get them to a shelter.
All right. Steve Zaros, Deputy Police Chief in Yarmouth, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Stay safe.
You too. We want to go north of Boston now. Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith is at the firehouse. Chief Smith, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
So tell us what it's like in Gloucester. Are you there, Chief? Hello, Chief. I think we lost you. That was Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith, who was with us. Again, we want to just recap now what we know about this storm. We've got about 240,000 people without power. We've also got crews out throughout the state, estimated anywhere between 3,500 and 4,000 pieces of equipment. Also, if you are taking public transportation, which is probably what you should be doing today, the T is on a reduced Saturday schedule today. I'm told that Deputy MBTA GM Jeff Gonneville is on the line to tell us about how the T is working. Thanks for being with us, Jeff.
Hi, how are you, Deb?
I'm okay, I guess. Reduced Saturday schedule. What does that mean for the MBTA?
Yeah, so what that means is on our red, orange, green, and blue lines, we are running approximately a couple minute longer spacing between trains. So, for instance, on the red line, we run about a 4 or 5 minutes minute distance between trains and the peak. Today we're running about 8 to 10 minutes between trains in the peak hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So and on our commuter rail, we're running what we refer to as our extremely reduced schedule. It is a schedule that is about 50% of the trains that we would run in a typical weekday. And really, for both the commuter rail and the Metro core system, the purpose of doing this is gives us the ability for all of our engineers, all of our motor persons to have the flexibility to run at reduced speeds because of the low visibility conditions that we know we are experiencing, just like anyone that's out there driving an automobile or a motor vehicle right now. And in addition to that, it gives us the ability to run some of the snow fighting equipment that we have available to us now that we've purchased since the winter of 2015 out along the right-of-way to help clear, push, blow, and just move the snow from the right-of-way in order to continue for us to operate the system.
Have you had any issues today?
We have. So right now we're experiencing some power issues, both on the Plymouth and Kingston line, as well as on our Newburyport-Rockport line.
Does that mean you're out of power when you have a power issue?
Well, every grade crossing, every switch, every interlocking that we have across the entire commuter rail network, and to put that in perspective, it's about 400 miles of right-of-way, is and relies on civilian commercial power. So if there's a power outage in a particular area, we lose power on those particular pieces of equipment. So what that requires is we have to get out there with standby generators and generators to power those areas. So, again, right now on the Plymouth and Kingston line and on the Newburyport-Rockport line, we are experiencing some power issues. In addition to that, on our Providence line, where the Amtrak trains use overhead power to power the Amtrak trains, we do not use that overhead power, but the wires that power the trains, we have wire that is down right now on the Providence line that is requiring us to not be able to use one of the tracks there. So we're operating only on one track right now on the Providence line. So we're seeing some delays there as well.
So let's just recap. Saturday service, Mattapan trolley line being replaced with shuttle buses.
Correct.
Suspended ferry service all day.
Correct.
Regular bus service is expected today, but some lines are running on a so-called snow route.
That's correct. And pretty much I think what we've been messaging all day long is anyone who's going to be using our system, no matter what mode, should check before they leave to MBTA.com and get the latest service updates that we have for, again, whatever mode you'll be traveling or whatever line you'll be using.
It seems like quite a bit to take in here. Is this the worst one of the three storms so far?
I think each one of these storms has thrown a little bit something different at us, whether it was the heavy snow and winds and the mass power outages of the last storm or the floodings of the storms before that. So I think, you know, each one of these winter storms throws their challenges at us, but we've done a lot of work on planning to be more resilient and put together a very robust snow plans that offer various levels of response. And I think we've been executing to those plans but certainly I do not want to mislead anyone. We are all looking forward to spring.
All right. MBTA Deputy GM Jeff Conneville, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Okay, for an overview of what's happening around the state, I'm told that Chris Bessie, who's a spokesperson for the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency, is on the line. Hi, Chris. We're going to have to start paying you a salary.
Good afternoon. Here again. Another snow. As Jeff said, we're all ready for spring two here.
Are you? Okay, you're ready, but I don't think Mother Nature's ready.
Not quite yet.
Okay, what's the latest on outages?
So we've still got some pretty significant power outages across the state here, about 240,000 customers, particularly in the southeast part of the state. So Plymouth County, out through Barnstable County on the Cape, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, and that area of the state's really seen the most significant heavy, wet snowfall and the strongest wind. So there's a it's going to be a process as that restoration starts, into tomorrow.
Last number we heard was about 240,000?
That's right. It's been hovering around there for a while now. It spiked up significantly this morning, but it's been around 240 for a little while now.
Problems with crews getting to be able to restore the lines. We're hearing about we've been speaking with lots of folks throughout the state throughout this hour, and we're hearing that a real problem is they don't even know if the crews can get out to safely try to work on restoring the power. Are you hearing about that, Chris?
Yeah, so that's the, you know, the information we're getting from the utilities is that, you know, the first step is that they really have to wait till the conditions are safe so that their workers are in a safe spot to be able to get out and get up there and get into the bucket trucks. And there's still going to be strong winds tonight and even some into tomorrow. So that's even before any of the work can get started. And then they go through their damage assessment process and figuring out what the damage is and then start the restoration effort. So, you know, people who are without power now are probably not going to have power back on tonight. So we encourage them. If they're in a cold home, that they stay with friends or families or find a local shelter or a hotel or any option to stay safe.
Are you opening shelters or warming centers, Chris?
There are some shelters already open, and we're working with cities and towns to support a few more. So as of right now, I believe the few that are open are there's one in Fall River, there's one in Plymouth, in Plimpton, in Nantucket, Fairhaven, Carver, Rochester. So there's several open. There's maybe some more opening up this evening if necessary on the Cape. So people can check with their local officials or call 211, the state's information hotline, for any updated shelter information.
Okay, so you're saying you don't have power now. You're probably not going to get it tonight. How about any idea when?
I don't yet. But again, knowing that those strong winds are going to continue into tomorrow, you know, it's probably going to be a multi-day effort for many of those people without power.
Mm-hmm. So would you say then that probably the morning commute tomorrow is going to be a real problem?
So there's a couple different impacts on the commute. You know, the snow itself should be wound down by the morning commute. And if, crews will be out there throughout the night tonight, that should be able to make good progress on a lot of those roads, at least the major roads. You know, there may be some side roads or small streets that cities and towns are still working through. But overall, the state's out there, they've got several thousand pieces of equipment out there, so they should make a good progress on that. But and the power outages affect commuting sometimes in terms of traffic lights and stuff like that. But overall, you know, the major highways and stuff will be going on. And I know you just got an update from the MBTA that they'll have some adjustments to their normal schedule as well.
Okay, Chris Bessie, spokesperson for the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Stay safe.
You too. I just want to check in briefly here on the North Shore because I'm told we have Eric Smith, who's the fire chief in Gloucester, back on the line with us. We lost him earlier in the show. Chief Smith, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, not a problem. I appreciate it, Deb. Thank you.
So what's it like in Gloucester?
Actually, we're starting to see the wind start to kind of taper down slightly. It's been pretty windy, as all the reports have indicated. We've had quite a few power outages due to the wind and its effect between the heavy snow and the trees and the wind itself. It's done exactly what we expected it to do, unfortunately. So we had a few spikes in outages, but we're hovering around 700 right now, which is actually pretty reasonable given the size of the community. So National Grid's been doing an excellent job working with both police and fire crews that are out chasing around these downed wires and getting those cleared up so we at least maintain access for public safety. So that's kind of our priority, is to eliminate the hazard of the wire being downed where it can be, you know, in contact with people, and then obviously to de-energize that and open up those roadways so we still have public safety access to get to folks on both sides of that outage in case they have a need. So far the system is working well in that regard. We're looking forward, as it's been mentioned, to spring. I think we've all had enough of the March storm. So it's, so we're just kind of hanging tight and waiting for this one to end.
Okay. Well, Gloucester Fire Chief Eric Smith, thanks so much for being with us. Stay
Thank
warm.
You.
Okay, and so we've been talking a lot about power outages right now. The numbers are staggering, and utility providers say if you add up the number of people who've lost power in all three of the nor'easters we've had in the past 2 weeks, it's about 750,000 people. And our next guest says you don't have to settle for boxed or jarred food when the power goes out, but you can, in fact, make something to eat even when you don't have power. Kristen Quinn runs the blog Misadventures in Mommyhood, and she's on the line right now from Cohasset. Hi there, Kristen.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, well, you're without power down there.
We are without power, yes.
Yeah, and your phone sounds awful. So we heard from Governor Baker that your area of the state is hard hit. So let's start with that. What's the storm like?
It's pretty bad down here. There's a lot of trees down. I think that's the issue with the power. A lot of heavy wood coming down, so it's kind of like a double whammy.
Oh, wow. So we're talking food with you. So what are you making to eat when you have no power?
Oh, very little. But one of my kids' favorite recipes is very easy to make. It's snow ice cream. You just go outside with a bowl of food, pack up some ice cream, bring it back in, put a little vanilla, milk, and sugar, all things you should probably already have, and mix it together, and it's actually surprisingly delicious.
Okay, snow, milk, vanilla, sugar.
You got it. Yeah.
Okay. What's
if you want to get fancy, you can add some sprinkles. But.
Okay, and we have just a couple seconds. Second sure. recipe.
Yep. So these are energy bites, and you should have all of these in your pantry. It's peanut butter, coconut, and oatmeal, and you just round them together in balls. If you have chocolate chips, you can add those, and it's kids have a lot of fun making. And there's some good energy for the
food. Okay, peanut butter, coconut, oatmeal, chocolate chips. Sounds good. Kristen Quinn runs the blog Miss Adventures in Mommyhood. Kristen, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna and Allison Brusek, with help from Cassandra Sunt, Lily Tyson, and Zoe Mitchell. Tim Skog is our technical director. We had help today from Renee Marchando. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hetty. I'm Deborah Becker. Stay warm. This is Radio Boston.